demons believe and tremble. So you can believe in God and go to hell. The demons will. Satan believes in God. He knows that there is a God. We have to believe and we have to submit. And we're going to look at this in scripture, but I just want to go ahead and say it. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And when you start to recognize that word Lord means supreme authority, when you start to recognize what supreme authority means, then you see many times in scripture, even when Jesus was walking on the earth, those that would respond to him by saying, Lord. The thief on the cross, that he did not pray a specific sinner's prayer, but he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So by saying that, he was saying to Jesus, calling Jesus Lord, supreme authority. I believe had he not died that day, his life would have been radically transformed. Because he said to Jesus, Lord. Then he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom, saying that he believed who Jesus was and that he was going to his kingdom and asking Jesus to remember him. So this lordship thing is a very big deal. If our ushers will come on up, we've been talking this month about mentoring and the need that we have as Christians to not just learn, but to share what we're learning and to live it out. And this lordship thing is a major prerequisite because you have to submit yourself to the lordship of Jesus to be able to teach others that. Because our life will speak what we believe. So, Thomas, will you pray?
Father, we just thank you again this morning for being able to come to your house, Lord. This time is going to praise you for our tithes and offerings. Give back to you, Lord, a portion of what you've given us, Lord, Father God, for the work of the kingdom. We praise in Jesus' name. We ask that the word, Lord, our ears be open to it and our hearts and minds, Lord, Father God, for what you're trying to convey to us today. In Jesus' name.
So I'm going to step on some toes right now. I'm just going to say this right there, what we're doing, this is a part of lordship. Because the Bible says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Tithing is not my idea as a pastor. It's not man's idea. It is the church's idea. And Jesus, if you look it up, he said when they were talking about tithing, he said, these things you ought to do. So it is a way that we say to Jesus, you are Lord of my finances by giving first thing to the church. That's what God has called us to do. And so that's just one of those areas that, listen, lordship is not something that we say on Sunday and then leave at the church. Lordship is how I live my life. It's how I spend my money. It's how I spend my time. It's what I watch on television. It's what I say to people. It's how I act around my children. It's how I treat my husband. It's how I treat the clerk at the store. It's how I drive my car. It affects every area of my life. That is why I'm going to tell you from firsthand experience, it is an ongoing changing process. Just this past week, I'm going to admit, God dealt with me about speeding because I just don't even think about it, honestly. Like, I'll just be in a hurry and I'm not even paying attention and I'll look down and go, oh my goodness. And so that I knew like was bad because we're going to talk about the fact today that submission to authority and understanding the lordship first of Jesus is not only not doing something when you're going to get caught. Because that's an act of obedience. God wants more than us just to not do what we're not supposed to do when we're going to get caught because we're going to get punished. He wants an attitude of honor and submission to say to him, God, I will do what you're telling me to do because I honor you as God and because your way is the best way. And so this week, God dealt with me because I just don't think about it. Like I just, you know, 5-10 miles over, you know, whatever. And the Bible says that we as Christians are to obey the laws of the land. And the Holy Spirit pointed that out in my life and was like, you're not obeying the laws of the land. And I was like, you're right. So I promise you, every time I'm getting my car now, I'm constantly like looking at the speedometer and slowing down and slowing, trying to take the lead out of my shoes, you know, just slowing down everywhere I go. Why? Because if it matters to God, and that's an area that he's dealing with me, then it matters to me. And I could say, God, seriously, like, that's really not a big deal. You understand that everybody goes 5 miles over. Like, 10 miles over is not that big of a deal. The cop's not even going to give me a ticket for that. But that's not the issue. The issue is not, am I going to get a ticket for this? The issue is when God shows us an area in our life where our life does not line up with what Scripture says, we say to God, I submit to you, and I change this area in my life. And it is a process. Now, I would love to say that the first time God spoke it to me, I have been on the speed limit on the dot every time. I'm not. I look down at my speed and go, I gotta slow down again. You know, because it's a work in progress. Most of us are a work in progress. And God is so merciful to work with us while we're a work in progress. But the difference is our attitude. If I said to God, God, seriously, everybody speeds. I just think that you're picking on me. I think that, you know, you need to move out of this area of my life because I am serving you in all these other areas and, you know, you're making a big deal about this one area. Nothing would change. And you know what would is even worse? What would happen? And this is where we need to be honest with ourselves. You can do what you want. God will not take over most of the time and make you do his will. Now, there will come a time when the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And you will confess if you haven't already, and you will bow whether you like it or not. But that time is not right now. Now we have a choice. And in this choice, we can say to God, I don't care what you say. I think that your rule is silly. Like, I think that you're telling me this and it's stupid. Like, really, it doesn't matter. We can do that, and I can make that choice, but I cannot make that choice and stay in right relationship with God. Because lordship and submission means that I submit my life to his will. Now, this is the sad thing about Christianity. So many people are so used to living their Christian life apart from relationship with God and apart from closeness with him that they don't recognize it anyway. They're not used to walking in fellowship with God. But I'm telling you, that is Christianity. Christianity is not God gives you a set of rules, you go on your merry way and try to keep them. Christianity is my life is submitted in relationship with God Almighty. And that he strengthens me and speaks to me every day, that I hear his voice, that he shows me what to do and gives me wisdom in areas, and that I go to him in every area and I say, God, I realize that I am weak in this area, that I don't have enough, that I need wisdom, that I need strength, that I need grace. And I go to him and he's there and he's faithful. But this has to be built in relationship. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't ever open your Bible or spend time with him outside of an hour on Sunday, you don't have a relationship with him. I mean, not much of one anyway. Because relationship is built in time. You have to love the person, but you have to give time to that person. And this Christian life was meant to be spent as a daily relationship. Now, do I feel him all the time? No. Do I hear his voice audibly? Never. Like, I hear him speak clearly in my spirit, though. Just the way that I was sitting praying about something and actually praying for somebody else. And the Holy Spirit went, you speed. And I went, yes, I do. And so the Holy Spirit speaks to us and he deals with us and he works with us. And I want to challenge you, learn to walk in that, because then when you realize that you have lost that, then you go, God, what's wrong? Did I miss you? Was that attitude wrong? Did I disobey you? And the Holy Spirit will show you. Now, I'm not talking about living in condemnation because you don't feel God, because sometimes we don't feel him. And I tell you this, if you go to God and you say, God, will you show me? Is there something between me and you? Have I done something wrong that I don't realize? God will tell you. He will show you. His goal is not to just keep us at arm's length and make us try to figure it out. Like, he will show us if we will ask him. And so the enemy condemns us a lot of times, and we walk in condemnation because we think, because we don't feel him, that he's not close to us. And listen, growth means that you learn to take what the Word of God says above your feeling. And the Word of God says he will never leave or forsake me. The Word of God says if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. But that's important. It says if we confess. Not if you make excuses, not if you blame other people, not if you tell God, God, why are you picking on me? Like, not any of those things. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just. And the Christian life, throughout your Christian life, God will point things in your life and say, that television show that you thought was okay, it is not okay anymore. And then you have a choice whether you will choose lordship or not. So the truth is, when we choose not to obey, we choose to take Jesus out of lordship in our lives. And as I said, that's an ongoing, come on in, thank you. That's an ongoing. Now, I wanted us to have a real live picture of this today. So my wonderful husband is going to give us a word picture today. So when I say to God or to Jesus, because he's going to represent, just bring it up here so people can see it. When I say to God, I am giving you, Lord Jesus, I give you the lordship on my life. You can make all the decisions. Now, in my example, for example, God said to me, you speed. You're breaking the laws of the land. Well, I could say to Jesus, if I choose to say, okay, Lord, you're right. That's an area that needs to change. Then I allow him to stay where he is. If I say, no, I just think that that's a silly decision. And I think that my way is better, then I have now just taken back over lordship of my life. And I might still want to follow Jesus. And this is the hard thing, is that I might still say to God, God, but I want to do your will, but want to is action. And if I say, God, but I love you, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, try every once in a while to do the right thing. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, this is the problem. You can sit back down. This is the problem. I'm going to step on toes maybe again. You can't know his commandments if you don't read the Bible. It's very easy to think you're doing pretty good if you just compare yourself to other people. If you don't compare yourself to the mirror, which is the standard. But if you will read it, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will bring those scriptures back to your mind in a moment when you need to see a mirror and see that maybe you're not as pure or as straightforward or as honest or as obedient as you think you are. But that is only because he wants us to grow, because he loves us. And always remember this. You can go. Thank you. Always remember this. Yeah, please. Always remember this. When God points out an area in our life, and this is something I've only really learned in this way recently. When God points out an area in our life that needs to change, he is always giving us the option. At that time, he's saying, I will help you. He doesn't say, hey, listen, you need to fix this. So fix it and come back to me and then we'll talk. He is extending his hand to say, I will help you change this. I will help you fix this. So if we will not run from him in those moments, but run to him and say to God, yes, God, I need to work on that. Will you help me? Then he will help us. So, obedience, like I said earlier, can be an outward response to an outward stimulus. I can obey simply because I'm going to get in trouble if I don't, simply because somebody is watching me. That's all outward stimulus. Submission is an inward attitude where I do it out of honor and respect for God because of who he is in my life, because I understand his authority and I'm willing to submit to it. Submission is about your reason and attitude during the obedience, because submission is a term of order. It means to arrange under. So someone who submits understands they're not worthless. They're just arranged in an order. Charles Crabtree, in his book, Transformational Discipleship, says, this is very important, it is ridiculous for people to claim they are disciples of Jesus, but choose not to obey Jesus. There are those who have been born into the kingdom of God but rebel against the demands and discipline of Christ. They want the gift of eternal life but not the responsibilities of citizenship. They want Jesus as Savior but not as Lord. Jesus found these rebels very much alive even 2,000 years ago. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Is what Jesus said in Luke. Will you put that up, Joe? It's Luke 6:46. So he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So if we are going to call Jesus Lord, which is the only way to salvation, you cannot just say, Jesus, I want you to save me, but I want to live my life my own way. It doesn't work that way. Salvation includes lordship. It is part of the process. It's part of the surrender that we make to him. And this is what Jesus said. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Charles Crabtree continues, the whole nature of the kingdom of God can be defined in one word, authority. The whole attitude of true disciples is to want the master's will more than their own. Rebels are interested in the words of the master, but not his will. They live on the need level in their relationship with God. In essence, they say to God, I need you, but I love me. I'll praise you, but I won't obey you. Rebels can praise, but they cannot worship God in spirit and in truth because they do not consider God worthy enough to displace self-rule. Spiritual rebellion in the church is manifested by resentment towards spiritual authority, pride in positions, lack of commitment to the body of Christ, and by a prayerless life. So I said, I think a lot of people consider themselves submitted because they obey some spiritual rules. They think to themselves, I do as well as I can. But God doesn't call us to do as well as we can. If we could do it without Jesus, we wouldn't have needed him. If I can do pretty well on my own, then I didn't need him to come and die for me. And so, submitting to authority, however, produces humility and faith. Look in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. It says, now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. In Luke 7:8, it tells this story also. And he says, for I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. So he understood there was authority above him and people under him in submission to him. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. So notice in verse 5, the centurion called Jesus Lord. Actually, twice in this account, he called Jesus Lord. So when we call Jesus Lord, even in our request, we remember who he is. We remember who's in authority. And that was something that the centurion did. Look in verse 8. He said, I am not worthy. In our society of self-promotion, where people ask for things and expect things because of what they have done and what their position is. This is different. It's important to remember that we are worthy as Christians because of what Jesus did on the cross. We are. The Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. But this is before Jesus had died on the cross. And the centurion knew he was not worthy. I know that I am worthy to come to God because of Jesus' death on the cross, because his blood has cleansed me and made me a child of God. And that's why I'm worthy to come to him. So the centurion, though, understood it was not about him. And we as Christians have to remember, I am not worthy apart from Jesus. I'm worthy because of him. And that's something that we have to maintain. So the centurion didn't come to Jesus asking based on his position or all he had done. He said, I'm not worthy, but he asked anyway. But notice in verse 8 and 9 that his understanding of authority caused faith. He had faith because he understood. In fact, that was his example. He said, I am a man under authority and under authority, and I have soldiers under me. So he was saying to Jesus, I understand authority, and I believe you have authority. Because he says at the end that he says, let's see. Anyway, I don't remember what I was getting, where I was going to say there, but anyway, coupled with the fact that he believed who he was, he believed who Jesus was. And so all he needed was a word from Jesus. He said, I don't need you to come to my house. I just need you to speak a word, because his understanding of Jesus' authority caused faith in his heart. When we understand who Jesus is and what he is worthy of, when we realize, God, you are so worthy. You are worthy of the decisions in my life. You are worthy to show me if there are things that I need to change, if my attitude is wrong, if the things I'm watching are wrong, if the way I'm talking is wrong, if the way I'm spending my time and money is wrong. You are worthy of it. And that produces faith. And a lot of people, I think, don't really get this. And that's why they struggle with faith, because they don't ever really make the change from being in lordship of their own life to giving Jesus that position. And so our life speaks, our way of thinking teaches others. So it's very important that we understand authority, that we understand who God is, because the other side of that is very dangerous. I want to show you two examples, and then we're going to wrap this up. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. Despise means to disesteem and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling, that's like a severe, accusing, harsh accusation against them before the Lord. When you understand authority and when you are submitted to God as authority first and foremost, it changes the way that you talk to people and about them. Like David, we see that David was submitted to God. And so even though he had Saul, who was an evil king at the end of his life, he started out, God chose him to be the king, but he turned away doing his own thing and became an evil man. But David said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. How could he do that to such an evil king? Because he understood authority. He understood that God was still in authority over Saul. When we are consistently looking at the authority over the authority, then we can respect and honor those in authority, because we understand that God is an authority over them. And so often we think that, well, I'm not going to go there. Okay, I'm going to leave that there. Let's look in Jude chapter 1 in the New Living Translation. Jude chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, dear friends, I had been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all to his holy people. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. We show if we allow Jesus to be Lord in our lives by our lifestyle. It's that simple. If our lifestyle, if we know that we are living contrary to what the Bible says and we are not repenting for it, then Jesus is not Lord of our life. It's that simple. Now, there are things, like I said, there are areas where God is convicting us and we are repenting and it is a work in progress of change. But that's different than saying to God, I love you, but I love this more. And if you refuse to obey God, you are saying to God, I love you, but I love this more. And really, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we really love him, love is not a feeling, love is an action. And so we have to choose to obey. And we have to be allowing God to speak to us so that he can show us the areas that we need to obey. Jude 1, we're going to continue in verses 8 through 11. It says, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, a commentary that I read said that this was because the enemy, the devil, wanted to show where the body of Moses was buried because it was a secret, so that the Jewish people would start worshiping Moses, worshiping his grave and stuff. But anyway, it continues, dare not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. When we understand who's in authority, we can keep bringing it back to God to fix it and to handle it, because he's the one who fixes it. Listen, as a wife, the Bible calls me to submit to my husband. Now, I'm going to admit there have been a few times over the years that we have not agreed. In those moments, I have said to, just 23 years. So, you know, are we 23? Yes, 23 years this year. Just a few times. Like, that's because I gave it 23 like last year. Anyway, in those moments, if I say, I cannot submit to you because you are wrong, well, then I'm not submitting to God. Now, I can say to him, and my opinion, God gave us women an opinion for a reason. We have a brain. God doesn't say that we cannot share our opinion. But there have been times that I have said to him, okay, you do what you think. And then I go to the Lord and I present it to the Lord and I say, Lord, now I need for you to deal with him, you know, because I feel like he's wrong, you know, I mean, or however we deal with it, you know, I mean, because we're not people that are in leadership are not perfect. I have learned this from being in leadership. And sometimes you can be looking at those in leadership and think, oh, I could do that so much better. And the truth is, maybe sometimes you could. But you need to realize and remember, God didn't ask you to. So what does that say? Because sometimes we can constantly be looking at how I would do this better. But then when we can in those moments step out from under submission and move into criticism. And that's dangerous. Because the truth is, God is working with people and teaching people all along the way. And sometimes he can't use people that know that they already know how to do it. Because people, all of us, we can get lifted up in pride. And that is sometimes why he uses us while we're still imperfect, because we need him. And so I would just challenge you. All of us struggle at times with submission to authority. I admit it. It's an area that I still struggle with sometimes. But when we realize that Jesus, you are ultimately an authority, and if you tell me to submit to this authority, then I submit to you first. And then I choose to believe that you know what you're doing and that you're going to work this out anyway. And that's how we do it, because we trust him and we focus on him. And because of that, we choose to pray for and love our leaders, like the Bible says. Because if you read the Bible all throughout, I mean, it is in multiples of the epistles where it says that we are to honor those in authority. It starts with children, with parents, which, by the way, I'm going to post on Faith on the Hashtag News. Robert Morris preaches a very good message about honoring your mother and father and how it will go well with you. Even as adults, how we honor our parents, even if they're not good parents, how you honor them. And he talks about how that sets the tone for understanding leadership and authority. And I would challenge you to listen to the message. But I just want to close with, I just want to ask you to look at this and ask the Holy Spirit, are there areas in your life that you have not allowed him to be Lord? Is there any, just give him the opportunity. Say, Lord, is there any area of my life where I am sitting here instead of allowing you to? Is there anything that I'm doing that is not showing that you are Lord in my life? Is there any scripture, anything? Because listen, I realize that have not crossed every T and dotted every I in the Bible, that I don't get it always right 100%. But if God shows me something that I need to deal with, then I need to deal with it. And that's how I try to live my life, is God, if I'm doing anything wrong, show me and I'll repent from it. And together, we will change it. So we need to be living with, God, is there anything in my life that needs to change? Show me and I will change it. And that's how we walk. And he will, because he is faithful to work with us and to help us grow and change. So I'm going to ask Joe, if you'll just play it on I Worship. And I just challenge you, if you have never really made Jesus Lord, because that is the beginning, is where you make a decision to give him lordship. Now, you have to continue to allow him to be Lord in your life. But you do need to make a confession of saying, I believe in you, Jesus, as Lord. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And the Bible says, if you will do that, you will be saved. There is no other way to heaven than through lordship of Jesus. Otherwise, we're just doing good things, but good things will not get you to heaven. There are lots of people out there doing good things that are not going to heaven. If you have been away from God and you have been living, sitting on your own seat, I want to challenge you to repent. There is a closeness that can come between you and God where you understand, man, this faith is worth everything. He is worth dying for. He is worth living for. He is the one that I go to when I'm upset, when I need help, when I need grace, when I need wisdom. That's the kind of relationship he wants us to have with him. So as this song plays, if you need to repent for any of that, if you need prayer for any reason, if you need prayer for wisdom or healing or salvation, we'll be glad to pray with you.